The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Tuesday, 29 November 2016. And am I the only one out there? But I'm sure I'm not. These mixed messages that keep coming out of the Trump camp, I'm starting to get a little concerned about the boy. Okay, now he wants to charge and deport people that burn the American flag. Well, I have never burned an American flag, and I don't ever see myself doing it. Because, you know, why burn the picture frame if you don't like the picture? Just take the picture out, put another picture in the frame. That flag, to me, represents a union or a confederation of the states. Let me clarify. not the 14th Amendment or the post-Civil War America. You know, I understood why somebody like Colin Kaepernick, guy's got more money than he's ever got in his life. And he's got guaranteed money. The guy is not a bad quarterback, but certainly not worth, in my opinion, if I was an owner of an NFL club, he's not worth what he's being paid. But that's aside the point. He is, in many people's minds, jeopardizing his NFL career, and that's his business. Not saying Colin Kaepernick didn't burn any flags, but it's the same kind of people are confused as to why they don't like the Stars and Stripes. You and I, on this network, we understand why. We've gone down that rabbit hole. But, dear Donald, dear Mr. President, stop it. Just, you know, you've attracted such a broad base that he's eventually going to piss somebody off in some camp somewhere that supported Trump. And I get that. That's in the course of human events in American politics. That's going to happen. But really, Donald? You know, if I were to ever burn an American flag, I would burn it because it represented what do we call that now, Mike? Jeez. We've come up with so many descriptions. Reconstruction, there you go. I guess that's the best one. The reconstructed United States. Well, from Business Insider, which is not known to be a conspiracy theorist. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me use the proper CIA term now. Fake news. Thanks, boys in Langley. You guys are just, you have my endearing whatever. Trump is meeting with an ex-bank CEO who wants to abolish the Federal Reserve and return to the gold standard. Now, I have talked about this in the past. We've got so much funny money out there floating around, and it's the debt is based on the inflated or the devalued dollar. That's why there's so many of the damn things out there, okay, that's worth 1 cent. Who knows? It could be negative 1 cent by now for all we know. We do know that for the first time in this country's history, our debt is surpassing, 110%, 120% now of GDP?
Yeah.
Not good. Not going in negative territory. I do so much want to sound like George Bush when I say that. You know, some simplistic 5-year-old answer that this guy would come out with. Never could do it. But here's my question. If you do come out with a new currency, United States dollar, give it a name. I'm sure it won't be monopoly money. But if I see Parker Brothers printed on it, it might give me pause for cause. But what value do we attach to all that currencies that's floating out there to try to back it by some kind of gold? Well, I guess the Federal Reserve itself, the private corporation for profit, would have to go bye-byes. And if that's the case, is there going to be a little debt forgiveness going on? By the banks, not by us. No, the banks. No, I don't think so. No. You know, I've been thinking about this a lot in the last couple of days. I've been paying attention to what other people have been saying. Now, even the Wall Street boys very quietly are whispering, there's going to be a crash. There's going to be a crash. And what you're going to see probably next month if Janet Yellen stays true to her statement that, you know, it looks like we've got to start raising interest rates. That happens. Now we're heading into unknown territory. Unknown. I say this because this is not the usual banker banquet that they love to feast by manipulating the money supply and withdrawing it and then expanding it and then contracting it and expanding it. You know, the dips, the highs and the lows that we keep having in this country, that just somehow we just can't have a stable dollar. It just keeps fluctuating all over the place. Damn thing. Well, some people are contending that this thing is going to happen, and probably within the first quarter of next year. I know. Before you roll your eyeballs, there's been a lot of projections and predictions, and everybody got their crystal ball out. And quite frankly, sometimes predictions make people look pretty silly. Now, this much I do know. This fiat system is tapped out. They can't do anything more with this. They're printing monies worldwide. Doesn't matter what country it is. So, again, I will ask the question, if we move to another currency, what happens to our debt obligations, say, transnationally to other countries? Do we just pick up the phone? I can hear Donald Trump calling up XYZ company, or country rather, around the world and saying, hey, you know that money we owe you, or you think we owe you, we just defaulted on it, and we're bringing up a new currency. Sorry, boys. And I've been asking, what is Plan B? Now, if you look at each one of these issues separately, economy, money, the banks. Yeah, it all ties together, but there are separate issues there. So, how do we chart this thing going forward? I don't know that it can be charted. The Dow now is at an all-time high. They're saying that, well, you know what? I'm going to hold my nose as I say this, but the Dow could hit 22,000. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the Trump effect. The Wall Street people are claiming that this is the Trump effect, that people have a little bit more confidence that we'll be going in the future in the proper direction. Excuse me. Had to cough there. How is that even possible or feasible? Now, people want to ask the question, well, what's my gold and silver going to be worth? Here's your answer. It's going to be worth as much as it's going to be worth. Now, I know that sounds flip, but it's really not a flip answer. It's what the market is going to recognize it as. What is it worth? Now, has gold and silver increased, say, over the last 10 years? Yeah, absolutely. Has it adjusted itself for what they affectionately call inflation? No. Gold should be trading anywhere from $4,000 to $6,000 an ounce right now. Silver, $150, $200 an ounce without breaking a sweat. Is it? Absolutely not. Has it gone up? Yeah, it has. But if you're going to start backing all of our debt, or at least a new currency, what is that going to do to the price of gold? See, gold is used for many things. Oh, yeah, it makes some nice coins, too. Oh, you ever seen them? Beautiful, yellow color. You can even look at it. Anything made out of gold, and if you've got a trained eye, you can even just take a look at it and the color of it, and you can tell what carat it is, for God's sakes. You know, over in Japan, they laugh at us for using 14-karat gold. They use, 22-karat, 24-karat? Almost pure gold? Not as wearable. When I mean wearable, it's not as sturdy as jewelry. And that's the reason that a lot of jewelers would go, well, that's why we use 14-karat. There's additives to that to strengthen the metal. It's still gold. Yeah, but it's diluted gold. But it's a little bit stronger. Yeah, okay, I got that. You take in a bunch of 14-karat gold to have it assayed and you go to cash it out, they ain't going to be paying you 24-karat gold prices. Trust me on that. But getting back to the original thought here, as to what in the hell are we going to do with the number one problem facing this country right now? And it is the banks. It has been the banks. And it has been for many, many years since its inception. The symptoms of the disease, though, didn't start really showing until much later. See, that's the problem with fiat currencies. And folks, you'll be happy to know, Americans love records, man. We like gold medals in Olympics, and we want our team to win at football, and we just like to win, you know? We really like that. Well, are we going to be winning this time around? Are we going to win this time around? Because there is not going to be any freedom in this country. Most people in this country don't even still realize that they are indentured slaves by way of that fiat currency. Sure as I'm sitting here. So we're going to do something monumental here. We're going to switch currencies. As President-elect Donald Trump's transition rolls on, more and more attention is being paid to the possible selections for a variety of high-ranking positions and meetings that might help decide these appointments. By the way, I've not been covering them extensively, and I'll tell you the reason why. I think he's doing a lot of fooling. I think he's inviting people in to talk with him just to listen to him, to give people the impression that, yeah, I might consider that person, where any sane person would not. Yes, we got to be more inclusive, and yes, we got to work together, and yes, we got to bring the country together. Together under what umbrella? That would be my question. On Monday, Trump will meet with John Allison. Now, who is he? He's the former CEO of the bank of BP&T. No, I didn't make a mistake there. It's not AT&T, it's BB&T. And the libertarian think tank at the Cato Institute. There have been reports that Allison is being considered for Treasury Secretary. Trump has a campaign on the campaign trail question the future of the Federal Reserve's political independence. But Allison takes that rhetoric a step further. While running the Cato Institute, Allison wrote a paper in supporting of abolishing the Fed. See, this is why they wanted to kill Ron Paul. Eh, don't pay any attention to that guy over there. He's just a loon. Well, he was the one most recently running for president that was packing stadiums like Donald Trump did. And he didn't have the allure and certainly not the money and certainly not the bombastic personality that a one Donald Trump has. But he was able to speak plainly and in common sense, in common sense language to people. In other words, they got him. They understood him. But that didn't stop the media. Oh, you know, Ron Paul, forget that popularity out there. You know, it's just a splash. It's just pissed off people. You know, it's the unemployed. You know, it's this, it's that, and the other. If I would have been Ron Paul's campaign manager, I would have had to have drugged the old doctor kicking and screaming into that Oval Office because he would have won the presidential election. That man, with all of his popularity, ran a campaign that demonstrated to me that he didn't want to get elected. He wanted to use the bully pulpit, and that's fine. But not fine with a lot of people because a lot of people volunteered all the money that they had, all the time that they could possibly fork over, under the assumption that they were working towards getting the man in the White House. But the point being is here's the guy that wanted to audit and eventually dump the Federal Reserve. Yay, Ron Paul. But this Allison guy comes around. He said, I would get rid of the Federal Reserve because the volatility in the economy is primarily caused by the Fed. He wrote that in 2014 for the Cato Journal. That's the publication for their institute, by the way. And I have, I cast a wary eye on a lot of these think tanks, folks. Well, Allison said that allowing the market to regulate itself would be preferable to the Fed harming the stability of the financial system, which, by the way, is their number one priority, and they have said this repeatedly over the years, that their number one job is to give their clients, their customers, a stable dollar. Okay. Allison went on to say that when the Fed is radically changing the money supply, distorting interest rates, and overregulating the financial sector, it makes rational economic calculation difficult. Markets do form bubbles, but the Fed makes them worse. Yeah, they just throw more printed money at it. Allison also suggested that the government practice of insuring bank deposits up to $250,000 should be abolished and that the U.S. should go back to a banking system backed by a market standard such as gold. He said that. Allison also argued for higher capital reserves of up to 20% of assets at banks. On the other hand, he also argued that the government should repeal three of the broadest banking regulations. We should raise capital standards, but it is even more important to eliminate burdensome regulations, including Dodd-Frank, the Community Reinvestment Act, and Truth in Lending. About 25% of the bank's personnel cost relates to regulations. Banks cannot pay the regulatory costs and have high capital standards. Depends on how much they stole today before if they could pay it. Now, this is similar to Trump's desire to roll back regulation, including Dodd-Frank, on financial institutions, though he has since backtracked somewhat. Now, it's unclear if any of Allison's policy views will ultimately become part of Trump's plan, but given the unconventional nature of his ideas, the meeting is notable. And again, folks, as I said at the outset, it's another meeting with another person. Is it real or is it an illusion? Hell, I don't know.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You know, every once in a while, Texas will do something, and it makes you go, hmm? What? What? What'd you say? Well, just recently, on rules and regulations for businesses, and forgive me, I can't get into my damned email because it tells me my certificate expired. And before anybody calls and tries to walk me through it on air, don't. I've got my IT guy there in Pennsylvania to help me out. Thank you anyhow. But it came out over the issue of interior designers and that you need to be certified and licensed to be an interior designer. Now, the woman that was heading up this commission or whatever the heck it was, I think her name was Bennett. I'm just going from memory, so I might have it wrong. But the gist of it was that, well, they were in the business of regulating and licensing, and you had to pass classes and you had to spend money and you had to buy a license and do all that other stuff. Well, for some strange reason, she did a turnabout and she said, why are we doing this? You know, is a bad interior job going to kill somebody? Is somebody's safety going to be endangered if we don't regulate interior designers? So I thought, well, that's a refreshing look at regulations and how much it costs businesses. But then they'll turn around. Just when you're feeling warm and fuzzy, they will unfuzz you and make you very cold. Trained killers can be cops with a three-week course in Texas. Texas legislature passed Senate Bill 162 a couple of years ago that opens up the streets to allow special forces military personnel to step right out of their wartime duties and right into police uniform to rule the people and infringe on the freedoms that most say that they had fought for. Which, by the way, are you pretty sick of this, folks? I mean, aren't you getting real sick and tired of hearing the media repeatedly over and over and over again thanking the soldiers for being heroes? I'm just an afterthought. The bill would let them slide on a badge and the dark costume, which will in turn keep the same warrior mentality, but utilize it against their masters with only a mere 3 weeks of training. This brief education in law enforcement can be done at home online. Yes, it can be certified online if you're a warrior. Never mind the 16-week minimum that the Texas Commission of Law Enforcement says is an appropriate amount of time to prowl our neighborhoods. The Houston Police Department requires a minimum of 6 months in a police academy for its cops. Now, for just a quick 120 hours of training, they can carry a gun, wear the shiny badge, use their battlefield experience to stop, detain, and arrest anybody that they want. With the majority of the arrests due to unjust and unconstitutional laws that they are enforcing that results in breaking their oath. Folks, we just simply call it policy. And if you really want to look at it for what it is, well, it's the administrative state, okay? The lawmakers are really saying that trained combat veterans will not need any thorough police training and that they're already fully qualified to jump right into domestic authoritarian position. And see, this has been my bone of contention for a lot of years. And you've watched these guys morph. You've watched it over the years. Remember they used to come out with shoes? Yeah, shoes. They actually at one time wore shoes. Some of the spiffier individuals would buy the patent leather shoes, but shoes that they were. And, of course, the obligatory pants with a stripe down the side, and then the shirt with all the little accoutrements and the badge and, you know, all that stuff. But it was a uniform to a cop that we got used to looking at. You weren't confused that, wait a minute, did I just all of a sudden find myself in the middle of a battlefield someplace looking at people that are camoed out and Kevlar'd and carrying MP5s and looking real menacing, you know, with the, they just love little wraparound shades too. Those are cool. Cool style statement. I've watched them over the years. Some of them started, well, wearing combat boots and actually blousing their little striped pants, and they thought that was a little much, so then they went to fatigues. Oh, let's try fatigues on. Let's try that. Until such time that you cannot tell in full battle dress gear somebody that's for the battlefield in some unconstitutional illegal war that we're killing people over, or the regular cop that climbs out of his little unit to say hi to you. We'll open up the phones, 800-313-9443. Back in exactly three, folks. Attitude adjustment time.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be. And it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn.
So on this issue of putting these fully qualified warriors into police uniforms and then set them loose on the street. The General Police Academy basic training. The classes contain the Bill of Rights, professionalism and ethics, multiculturalism and human relations. Wow. Spanish, racial profiling, use of force, communication and problem solving, professional driving, and crisis intervention. Ever notice how many traffic laws when a cop is clocking you by radar? Ever watch one flip around and violate how many traffic laws and break speed limits to catch up with you, to give you a ticket and revenue for the state? I always found that fascinating. Anyhow, now, professional driving and crisis intervention. Now, these are all squeezed into a minimum of 643 hours of formal instruction that Texas requires to start, began the duties as the armed public service. Now, the danger of placing minimally trained combat vets in our neighborhoods is clear. Senate Bill 162 opened up the streets to the special forces like Navy SEALs, Green Berets, other Army special forces. You know, they need jobs. Our heroes. Air Force Pararescue, Marine Force Recon. Well, with just a little blink or a little touch of training. Texas lawmakers agreed that skimming through 120-hour public servant peace officer class that only contains traffic, penal codes, and family statutes is sufficient enough to qualify them since they've already had combat training. Oops, oops, there's the telltale sign. Gee, folks, when you think of cops on the street, the first thought that comes to mind, probably now, but before, was it, oh, you know, he's combat trained. I feel safe. When was the last time you looked up in your rearview mirror and saw a cop behind you? Did you feel secure? No, you haven't. Now, this course is similar to the police refresher test that cops take when their license expires. Larry Carson of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram wrote this. In failing to require the formal basic police officer academy program for these combat warriors, legislators have done an injustice to the people they are supposed to serve, as well as the veterans unknowingly being put into harm's way. Now, we'll have a hardcore Marine writing tickets for jaywalking, a Navy SEAL breaching the peace of the people he claimed to gain freedom for by extorting them from unjust and victimless crimes, a couple of Green Berets policing by, or for profit, I should say, by hiding on the side of the road waiting for an enemy combatant who's traveling in their vehicle safely down the road at a speed of their choice. To hold a monopolized control over its citizens is already a daily hazard for the ones they are supposed to serve. The public death toll rises every day with fatal slayings by police. Now they are allowing these train killers to step off the battlefield and right into our communities. What could possibly go wrong? I mean, think about it. What the hell could go wrong here? Difference is, folks, used to be police received training. They were peace officers. They received training in communication. I've yet to be able to see a good cop de-escalate a situation that could be potentially dangerous. Okay? I have seen a lot of strange stuff out there. But I've yet to see a full-bore, battle-hardened combat vet that can just slide into a police uniform and still be that peace officer. At that point in time, they're trained killers with only limitations. That's it. And when you add that in with a country and its justice system that, and the federal government that feels that, you know, you're not innocent until proven guilty, but you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent. You know, in that kind of scenario, I'll ask the question again, what possibly could go wrong? Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hello, John. That's an interesting article. The only thing I think the guy left out, if there are special forces who have to get a police job, they weren't good enough to be a private contractor.
Was it a pang of conscience that wouldn't allow them to accept merc pay for going into battlefield situation? And oh, by the way, you're not restricted by those bothersome rules of war. Don't worry about it. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. You're not held accountable.
Right. That's pretty scary stuff down there. The reason I initially called, when you talked about Trump at the top of that first hour with the schizophrenic nature and you were kind of unsure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him really having a strong liberty message during the campaign.
He had a strong message.
See, he did. A lot of rhetoric and a lot of good buzzwords and a couple things that I think tricked me into thinking, well, maybe he's reading the right websites, maybe he's got the right information.
See, this is why I wanted Ron Paul for vice president. And many people have told me since the election that now they needed somebody like Pence to quiet down the Republicans who weren't sure about Donald Trump. Look, Ron Paul would have been perfect as a coach, tapping him on the shoulder when he before he opened up his mouth in public or did something presidential, for Ron Paul to be tapping him on the shoulder and going, excuse me, Mr. President, I don't think that's quite constitutional. Maybe you better think about this or look at it again.
Well, right, and I think they pretty well settled that back in 89 or so about the flag, but I do. My personal opinion is not one person or one administration can turn this thing around. I think it's still up to all the people.
Well, you know, look, my attitude and my feelings about Donald Trump is that people's attitude created Donald Trump. But I've got a billionaire builder that understands labor cost, understands how to build things, construct things, how to organize. You know, that is a symphony unto itself. And if you're a bad conductor, guess what? You're going to have a faulty product that's going to come in over budget and way, way, way over the time allotted to build the damn thing. Now, he's good at this. But when it comes to being president of the United States, when he stands up there on January 20th to take the oath for his office, I wonder if he's really going to consider when it comes to that Constitution part.
Good question. Yep.
You know, because
only time will tell.
Yeah. Well, and that, do we have that kind of, well, that's kind of a dumb question, but do we have,
you know, that, how far we're already under
that? I was just going to say, do we have that kind of time to allow Mr. Trump, you know, just free reign and sit back and watch what he does?
Right.
I don't know. And if there is one thing, whether it's wall building or whatever the case may be, if he does not tackle the banking problem in this country, then it's just, how did they say, kept saying, kicking the can down the road?
Right.
Yeah.
And it makes no difference if we don't get rid of that cesspool first, does it?
No, it doesn't. And ironically enough, what it will do, and he's come up with several ideas about draining that swamp, about not allowing politicians to become mouthpieces and carrying bags of money to the politicians. What do they call the damn things? I'm looking for the word, and it's escaping me.
A lobbyist?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. He wants a 5-year ban of anybody in politics becoming a lobbyist. Nah, that's a pretty good start, I guess. But the number one problem we're facing right now is debt. And a government that, when they got the checkbook, and brother, did they get the checkbook when they got the Federal Reserve, that they could just borrow on future earnings of the United States and keep borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and borrowing. Now, in a sane world, Mike, when a government runs out of money, then they got to stop doing stuff that they're spending money on. Ah, but not us. Not us. Not standing there with our little bucket at the credit window going, we want more, we need more, rather than starting to hack and whack out of the government what is inefficient and ain't working and it's none of their damn business to be doing in the first place. No, we'll just step up to the credit window and hold our hand out and borrow more money.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, it would have stopped in the 80s if we didn't do that. But the thing I keep hearing, and I guess there's still a disconnect when we say we pay taxes for this and taxes for that. And our taxes are it's a drop in the ocean.
Yes.
Compared to that debt.
It is. And that's what, and many people are still under the illusion here. I mean, even Hillary Clinton used it, didn't she, against Donald Trump in one of the debates. She says, oh, you don't pay your federal taxes. Oh, so you're not paying for our soldiers. You're not paying for this. You know, really? My comeback on that stage, I would have lobbed her damn head off with that one. You know, but you know, here we got, we got a billionaire builder. We got a billionaire building builder that's going to take the Oval Office. And like I said, and folks, I'm telling you, I'm going to be one of Donald Trump's harshest critics. It's easy to pick on Obama because the guy's a communist. You understood where he was coming from. But Donald Trump, we're just going to, as you said, Mike, have to wait and see.
Yeah, I hope it's not a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, like I said, you know, and many more people, if you've noticed the stories that are out there, you know, that if Hillary Clinton steals the election back by doing this crap with the recount and all that, now mainstream or fringe mainstream, let me put it to you that way, are saying there'll be a second American revolution in this country. Whether Donald Trump is the real deal or a wolf in sheep's clothing or just inept or not the right guy for the job, we've done the ballot box. We've done the soapbox. The jury box, that went out the window years ago. But we still have the bullet box. Now, nobody really wants to go there. How many people, Mike, do you know that breathe the sigh of relief, knowing where this country is going and thinking about that terrible thought, geez, you know, we might have to pick up arms and I might have to fight physically for my country once again. All those people relieved. Wow. No Hillary and Donald Trump. Well, this guy is not the bastion of constitutionality. That's why I said, and I said mainly, Ron Paul as vice president, because he could really help Donald with the Federal Reserve question. But moreover, it was his position and his adherence to the Constitution. I thought it'd be a great steadying hand, but that was not to be. We got Mike Pence. And by the way, has anybody seen Mike Pence's eyes yet? Every time I look at that, I always like to look at people's eyes. I like to look into their eyes to see how their eye movements are. They are the windows of the soul. I wish he'd put up his shades because I haven't seen his eyes yet.
Well, and when you see them, they're little slits.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
Who knows? But keep up the good work. I appreciate the show today, John.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your call. Tim in Wyoming. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. I was enjoying the last call there, and actually, what I'm thinking of as far as Donald Trump's choices for his cabinet, whoever they happen to be, I'm not going to single out any particular person. Mm-hmm. When he comes out and says that he would like to have a particular person for a particular position, there are so many people that have opinions on both sides. Of course, you know, opinions are like belly buttons. Everybody has one, as they say. So to speak. But the thing is, when he comes out and says, I'm thinking about choosing so-and-so for such-and-such a position, and the people that know the right way for him to go, which is, you know, towards the Constitution rather than away from it, as we already know, they know that the people that are being put up for us to see are the people that he's either trying to vet them in the public eye. This is the way I see it. I see it. He's trying to vet them in the public eye and have other people come out and say, no, it should be these other people, because maybe he doesn't have all these people's names at his fingertips, you know, on the tip of his brain, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering about that because, you know, when he says he'd like Romney, or he's thinking of Romney, and everybody says, oh, no, that'd be an awful choice because this, that, and the other. Okay, well, what about the other people who are the complete opposite of Romney? Okay, and I'm just, you know, using that name as a particular, because I honestly, I'm not following who he's really looking at. What I want to know is how we will react to what he does next. And then that's part of how our government or how our country or our nation, rather, our union will have to continue in existence if we want it to continue in existence. We either have to work together and follow what's right and wrong. Know what's right and wrong, rather.
Yeah, well, right. Yeah, but politically, how do you apply that? Because what I've seen, and that's why I said, Tim, that this country is at a tipping point. What I saw during this last election are just mindless little human bots out there that can't hold a thought in their head. They're as deep as a mud puddle and just as shallow, by the way. And when I look at that, there's no more real time to fool around. And Hillary's big thing, her campaign slogan was Stronger Together. And what that was suggesting that we join her and her political philosophy. That way we can all be in the same boat and we can row together. Well,
oh, right.
Yeah. Trump, if he's trying the same thing, and if people are confused, see, this Tim, this is what I don't understand. I don't know, isn't there something, isn't there some monumental penalty here for not following the rule book? Why don't we get
treason, you mean, or
no? No, no. Why don't we just get out the Constitution and look at that?
Right.
You know, it even has provisions in there on how money should be made in this country and what should it should represent. By the way, I neglected to say, Tim, that there has been no fiat currency on the face of this planet that has ever existed for more than 100 years, and the reason being, it's got a time bomb in it. It's ticking away and it's self-destructive. It always self-destructs until we came along. And right. How old is the Federal Reserve System now? Oh, now we're going on 104 years.
Right, soon to be, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, and when I had multicolored paper out to somebody, oh, you're coming up on a break here.
Yeah, hang on 1 second. 800-313-9443. Got to take a 3-minute break. We welcome your calls today, seeing as I'm operating with half a brain behind my back today. Computer, I just don't have...
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
People are getting stupid and now there's proof. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. This year's spring edition of Intelligence Online reported on IQ tests of 18 to 60-year-olds. The online magazine has been doing this study for quite some time, and this year's report was the first time that the average IQ of Americans dropped. Usually, the average IQ went up 3 to 5 points every decade. This time it went down. Well, look at the age range, 18 to 60-year-olds. Anyone under 48 was educated entirely under the Federal Department of Education. Those who predate the Department of Education are aging out of the study, skewing the average. Do we really need any more evidence that government, especially the federal government, should not be involved in educating our young people? Instead of critical thinking, young people are being taught sexuality. Logic and reason have become political correctness. History is now critical race theory. This is starting to look a lot like the plot from the movie Idiocracy. And if you own a firearm, then you need carry insurance. Get the most affordable carry insurance on the market and save another 10% by using code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Cephas Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
We are back. Go ahead, Tim. You were saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was talking about the, when I go to pay for something somewhere, 99% of the time I don't use electronic payment methods, because I try to tell people, you know, basically I'm even if I did use the multicolored paper, the ferns, the Federal Reserve notes, and the worthless metal slugs, I tell them, and when I'm handing them those pieces of paper and slugs, I say, I wish I had some real money to hand you, but this is all I have. And they say, what? What do you mean by that? They say, well, there's a note right on that piece of paper, a word right on that piece of paper that says exactly what it's about. And I say, there's the word right there, note. And they say, well, what does that mean? It's a message for someone. And I say, no, a note means it's a certificate of debt.
Right.
And why are we using certificates of debt as so-called money? I mean, this is the biggest psychological scam, the biggest scam ever played on any country in our entire world. And how many people are awake to that very fact that the worthless metal slugs and the multicolored paper are not even representative of anything except for the ones and zeros in an electronic system, which if you accidentally hit the wrong button, well, I have $1 trillion on my account now. Oops, oh, now I have -$1 trillion. Yeah, so it doesn't exist. So I try to wake people up to that very fact. I say, I wish I had gold or silver to pay you for this particular item, but all I have are these, you know, government-specified financial instruments that I have to use. And I think it's going to be a few years before, and I hate to say it, but I think it's going to be at least a few years before we can totally wean ourselves away from the electronic and fiat money system, because the electronic system itself is a lie. As I said, it's a lie in itself.
Right.
We can't wake people up to that, because, and they say, well, I'll use Bitcoin or I'll use this, you know, whatever electronic payment method on the internet or something. Well, what if I hit the big switch and shut off everything?
Well, then you've shut off your fountain of money.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a fountain of money, but at the same time, there's also the method of payment for any and everyone in our country, at the least.
You know, I was.
I shut up.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that's we're trying to talk over each other. I'm sorry. What were you going to say first? And then I'll.
No, I forgot. Go ahead. Hope you didn't forget.
Well, what I was going to say is that if, you know, as they say, there's the possibilities of these things being built into systems called, you know, and the possibility of an internet kill switch, that also the so-called, not dead man switch, but the what do they call them? Something that'll turn a system off that's built in internally.
Well, that's the only example that comes to mind readily is the stop on the Wall Street as far as Dow Jones. If there's too many shares are selling too quickly and there's a market sell-off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's supposedly to keep people from panicking, and all it does is it holds them up on selling. That's the only thing that it does and makes them anxious.
Well, I mean, I haven't followed the stock. At one time, I started following the stock market because I thought I'd found a couple good stocks that were, you know, worthwhile, and I watched them for a while, and mm-hmm. I said, I think I might buy these, but then I talked to other people, and I found out more about the stock market as it was, and, you know, if they know 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time what's going to happen with the stock market, how am I going to make any money, and how am I going to, you know, how is this going to benefit me? It's going to benefit them, because I'm giving them my payment.
That's right. That is exactly right. Hey, Tim, I've got to run. It's top of the hour.
Okay, well, thanks for taking my call, and have a good night. I'll listen on.
Okay, thank you, Tim.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilaji literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilaji has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.